This is Big Brother. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome once again to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, along with my buddy David Deal, former two-time Super Bowl champion. And I hope all of you were treated much, much better by Santa Claus than the Giants were on Sunday, because it was not... Listen, I guess, David... It could almost capsulize the season, you know, as I was with family and I'm sure as most Giants fans were, whether they were celebrating Christmas or not, you're watching the game. And we were very, I shouldn't say enthused, but, you know, coming off the performance against the Eagles, it was something to feel much better about.
Yeah.
That they gave a, you know, it was an energized effort. There were some good things that we got to see. You got to see the 400-plus yards from Eli and the three touchdowns. But when you look at the picture on Sunday, they just don't have, in particular on offense, they don't have the horses. I mean, for crying out loud, with TK, Tavares King being out with the concussion, the protocol, even TK, I mean, he was missed. Ingram with the ribs, it was just... It is what it is, and the season comes to an end this week at home against the Redskins.
Yeah, it's just – that was, I think, the most difficult thing, sitting there watching the game, preparing for it. You knew it was going to be a tough battle with the injuries before even Evan Ingram got hurt in the game. But you knew it was going to be a tough one on the road in Arizona on Christmas Eve, but you're sitting there hoping that you see momentum taken from that Philadelphia game and brought to Arizona, because you're facing a very similar team, you know, that has the injuries. They were going back and forth with Carson Palmer hurt, with backup quarterbacks, whether it was Blaine Gabbert or Stanton. You know, you look at Adrian Peterson on injured reserve, an offensive line that's banged up. They had injuries on defense, but still had bright points all over. So you look at it, it was almost – being able to look at a mirror image football team that faced the same obstacles that you have, and you just wanted a better performance. And, you know, you sit there and you look at the way that the New York Giants offense was able to come out and strike up against the Philadelphia Eagles with Tavares King. And now with Tavares King, we had an opportunity for somebody to step up and ready to make plays outside of that. Roger Lewis drops. Once again, drops. And when you have those... and you have it going three and out on your opening drive, then you have an opportunity on your next drive to convert because you're in a third and five, and then you get another incomplete pass. Then you get a false start on special teams on the punt, and it's just like a trickle-down effect that you're sitting there going, oh, no, here we go again, because you could just feel it coming on. And when you don't see that same energy and passion when you're playing a Cardinals team, there's a reason. It's easy to get up when you're playing the Eagles. It's easy to get up when you're playing the Cowboys. But when you hit adversity and you get up, you have to do it for each and every game. And believe me, I know that we're saying this and it's a cliche, but you're playing for your job right now. And you have one more opportunity this weekend to secure and put one last mark on your resume who you are as a football team and who you are individually as a player.
Well, for example, and believe me, folks, I'm not picking on Roger Lewis.
No, not at all.
No.
But that's reality.
I'll use Roger as an example. Like there was one particular catch where he made a one-handed catch. Tip that was great play. And they can do that sometimes. That's why you're a backup as opposed to being a frontline player. That becomes the difference. There were guys, him, Tavares, they made plays. But then, as Dave just said, I mean, some of those third and twos and third and three, I mean, you want to be in third and short positions. That's what you strive for. They were putting themselves in that position, but they couldn't capitalize. And you mentioned, you saw me, as soon as you used the word momentum, I hate to use this as an example, but I actually, watching the game, felt this was the case. Not, obviously, it was not in the building because it was in Arizona.
Yep.
scores 3-0, and Aldrich Rosas misses a chip shot field goal. And I'm telling you, did you? Yeah. As I looked, I said,
"You could see
you could look at Spags. I could see just the air came out of the team."
You've heard me say this before on this, and you not only see it when you're talking to people in person and you're one-on-one with people, but you see it on TV when you're watching mannerisms.
Oh, my God.
Body language doesn't scream or doesn't whisper. It screams. And you could see just not only on – but the team just like here – that's your opportunity, and you could feel that Arizona built off of that momentum.
Without Arizona built off it, and it went the opposite way on the Giants, because you could tell, and listen, for sure, that has to be addressed. I mean, you cannot have – now, listen, sometimes I'm not talking about, you know, week before when there was a blocked punt, a blocked field goal, a blocked extra point. You got to be able to make – field goals, and we're not. Listen, he's got the leg to make a 50-plus yarder, but you know what? Giant fans out there will remember. You know, he was the field goal kicker in you know for Super Bowl for the Giants when they won Super Bowl 25. Matt Barr. Talk about money in the bank from 50 in, money in the bank. It could be raining hail and locusts and pestilence or whatever. He was money in the bank, and that's what you need.
And I'm not comparing this to any other team, but we could sit here and say the same thing about the Dallas game. Anybody who watched the Dallas game, they're first and goal. They don't run it with Ezekiel Elliott on second or third down, or on first down and second down. You get a holding on third down. Now, all of a sudden, instead of fourth and goal from the two where it initially started, it's fourth and goal on the 17. Dan Bailey misses the field goal. Same thing. You can feel the energy in the building either drop or elevate for the other football team.
Yeah, no, it really, that was the case. And like I say, you know, you hate to put a 23-0 loss on a field goal kicker. But that has you got to remember something else. That has been an ongoing problem this season. This is the NFL. It's not high school. It's not college. You're paid to make field goals. And he's just not doing it with enough consistency. That has to be rectified. Either he has to get better or the Giants have to get somebody who is better. But that can't go on that way. Just can't. It was just as you're the way you described it is perfect. You could just feel
it getting
the air. And remember, this Giant team has been through that
time and time again
this season. And when that has happened, you can see the air going out. So now you got them down there, and you can see the guys looking at themselves saying, oh, what the hell, here we go again.
Yeah.
This is not happening to us again. It did happen to him again. It just snowballed after that. 201-939-4513 is the number on Twitter. It is Giants. It is hashtag Giants Chat. What do you say we open up the phone lines with Tom here in New Jersey? Tom, you're on with Russ and David Deal. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. How you doing?
Happy holidays to you and your family as well, Tom.
So I had a question. I want to talk about the secondary a little bit. And so we don't have Janoris Jenkins, but we have our next two corners, DRC and Eli Apple, healthy, perfectly healthy. And at the end of the day, I know that they have their issues or whatever, but you have to have your next two corners on the field. And when we open the defensive series, I see Brandon Dixon and Ross Cockrell out there. I'm like, what is going on? Because we have our first-round pick and one of our top performers from last year healthy.
Tom, let me just interrupt. Are you go off speaker and just talk to us on the phone, if you will. You're not.
Oh, sorry. That
much better.
Much better. Thanks, Tom.
Okay. So, did you hear the question?
Yeah, we heard it, and that's, you know what, and that's a difficult thing that you face, and obviously, you know, in regards to Eli Apple, and then the decision with him is obviously still, you know, the off of the field things that are keeping him off of the field, and you know, one of the things that I know that looking back at that game, and I'm like everybody else, you know, Arizona offensively, you can clearly see their number one target and their number one goal to open up things offensively was the ageless wonder, Larry Fitzgerald, which is unbelievable how he still does it. His precision and his route running, his ability to be on the same page as any quarterback out there. So when that happens and you see that he's the target, you know, the one thing that was my issue is that when you do have other people outside at the corner position and his primary is slot, why isn't DRC on him? Why wouldn't they man up man DRC on Larry Fitzgerald so that you give an opportunity to the other guys on the outside so that they're not playing up against a Hall of Fame receiver or a receiver? So that was one of the issues that I had. And once they started doing that and Larry Fitzgerald started clicking, look at what it did to him offensively. It gave Drew Stanton a second to get confidence, and then it wasn't all on him. And sure enough, they were able to have a successful game plan.
Oh, Larry Fitzgerald.
I can remember. I remember Eli Apple playing a single defensive snap. So I mean,
Apple was just in there on special teams.
Just special teams.
I don't understand what's going on there. I mean, I know he's had some disciplinary issues, but they don't need a first round corner out on the field.
Tommy, unfortunately, my friend, you got to call back or do something with your phone because it's just not working, my friend. We apologize, but we'll do it another time. Yeah, I mean, the Apple situation, obviously it is a situation.
Yeah, it definitely is, and it's been a situation and something that's been a distraction on top of other things with this football team this season.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to digress for a second. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to read it, but just because, as you say, the ageless wonder, and he's a quality guy as well. He's, you know, but in fact, did he not share? Wasn't he up for, was it a year ago, Eli?
Yeah, they both won it.
They both won it.
Man of the year.
Let me say this. The reason I'm digressing. Larry Fitzgerald wrote an article, and this has nothing to do with whether you're left, right, Republican, or Democrat. He wrote an article that just came out. It was on, I think, on SI.com about Senator John McCain.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, just and in fact, I tweeted something about it and I put it on Facebook and I said, for all of those people out there who use the phrase at times, dumb jocks, think again after you read this, because it was just it was just so well written. And to talk about how intelligent a guy is, you know, to hear an athlete speak like that about what Senator McCain, obviously he's got a friendship with him, is just. Boy, does that guy have a one-way ticket to the Hall of Fame.
Without a doubt, and he does it time and time again. And, you know, like I said, different quarterbacks, everybody knows and remembers the Kurt Warner era, and then people remember Carson Palmer. But Carson Palmer has had a lot of injuries, and he's had a lot of different quarterbacks in there and still able to produce at a high level year in and year out.
So let me ask you this, because you're a former player. Now, you've never been 1-13. Going into the final game of the season.
2-13.
Forgive me. But it is what it is. What do you think is going through everybody's mind as they're sitting here today? A lot of them have a day off today. As they're sitting here, what's going through their minds as a professional athlete right now? You've just been through a horror of a season. What's going through?
This is your last and final week of preparation to get ready for a opportunity to play the Washington Redskins at home. And with all of the adversity that you hit, at least walk away from the season with a high point, with something to look back at and to say, at least we ended in this with the right way with a win. Believe me, this season has been difficult for every one of us. But with a win, I know people will sit here and start saying, oh, well, with the draft and all that stuff. I think we all need a little something to smile about watching a Giants game on Sunday. And for these guys, for Eli Manning, for a lot of these players that have played their hearts out all season, for Coach Spagnuolo, I know it's been a tough year for the Giants defense, but for him to step into that interim role, for Coach Sullivan, for this football team, granted, it hasn't been easy for anybody. It's had its roller coaster up and downs, more downs than any of it. But you still put in work day in and day out, and to reap the rewards of it would be something that, you know, everybody could walk away knowing that this season wasn't great, but at least you walked away beating a division rival at home, then preparing to regroup and recharge this team and this organization moving forward for next season.
Yeah. you know, it's you bring up something. I asked Spags, you know, I sit down with him or stand with him.
Yeah.
Do our interview every week for our pregame show on Fox 5 and My9. And I asked him going into this week, well, the two questions. But, you know, everybody's wrapped up with the quarterback. Who's getting reps in practice or who's doing this or who's active and who's not active. And I said to Spags, isn't it the bottom line with you? You're just trying to win a damn football game.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. But then I took it a step further. How important would it be, and this was going into the Arizona game, how important would it be to get a win, maybe even two wins, to end the season, which now it would only be one, not just to end on a feel-good, like, so you got something to end, but for guys who are going to be here for moving forward to next season, does that carry over? Like, can you feel good with one lousy win this week going into next season? Or that's
no, like I said, you can feel good at the time going into the new year, knowing that even though you had adverse times, that you could walk away with a positive feeling, even though it's been a rough season for everybody to that football team. But moving forward, is that just one bright spot looking at next season? No, because you use this football season as a way to motivate yourself to make sure that we're never in this circumstance again. We're never in this position where we're talking with a top two draft pick, where we're having the struggles that we've had as a team, not only on the field, but things off of the field where guys are getting suspended, where we're not having to sit here and talk about everything that goes along with it, and we can get back to winning football games. And I think that's the thing that when you move forward with the guys who are part of this team and who will continue to be a part of the solution next year after what happened this season, you never lose the taste that you have when you struggle in a football season like this. And, you know, one thing that you talked about, winning those two games, these last two, the Arizona game, which didn't unfortunately happen, and this last game at Washington.
Well,
to be on a football team on the New York Giants that has lost the most games in a single season. That is a scar that you do not get rid of. But it is something that you can use that scar moving forward that you don't get another one on you.
Well, you just touched on something. That's being a real athlete, a real professional athlete. The chance to compete, and that's what the real athletes do. They want to compete all the time, and they don't care. If you are that kind of athlete, you don't care that you're 2-13. I want to compete. I want to win every game. And I had also asked Spags, and it is human nature. I'm not saying it is happening. Spags said he had not seen any of it. You know, I asked him, you know, at 2-12.
Yeah.
What was the situation? You know, have you sensed any of it is what it is, and maybe guys are looking forward to going home and having their season end? And he said he had not seen any of that rear its ugly head. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm in there every day. I haven't seen it either. Now,
it comes down to execution. You know, and it comes down to going out there, and when that big play needs to be made, when you have the roster that you have right now, you have to play perfect. You have to make that catch on 3rd and 5. You can't have the penalties like the 10 and the 101 yards that you gave away. You can't successfully win a football game when you have to overcome all the obstacles and you're shooting yourself in the foot as a football team.
Well, you know, you use another word. They're perfect. And the word is you have to be perfect. And even though you're a professional athlete, I think that's when nerves come in.
Now, yeah.
If it's up to you that you have to be perfect on every play, that adds pressure.
No question.
I believe that can strangle somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, the pressure becomes too much because I have no room to make an error.
There's no
it is
room
not
for
a perfect
error.
Science
no.
on the field.
No, and that's the difficult thing is that when you're in this situation with all the injuries and backups coming into play and, you know, guys getting signed from practice squad to come up, I love the fact that they're getting an opportunity to show who they are as a football player, and some of them may make it, some of them may not. But at the same time, when you have to make those moves and you have to sit there, as difficult as it is to say, to sit there and watch the game, and then you see something flash in a number and you can't call it out right away, that's when you know that you have to be sound all around, you know, offense, defense, special teams, without having penalties, without having turnovers, in order to win football games.
201-939-4513 is the number. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Feel free to give us a call, folks, because the lines are open. You know, I'm sure a lot – I know I do it. I'm guilty of it, not guilty of it. I look back at a schedule. And I look back at a schedule.
And what could have been.
What could have been, you look at – okay, Dallas and Detroit were two stinkers.
Yes.
Okay? But –
fourth quarter comeback Philly.
Fourth quarter comeback. They scored 24 points in the fourth quarter, and they lose on a 61-yard field goal. To me, that game sent them on the downward spiral. Then at Tampa, they
another
lose.
Another fourth quarter comeback and another loss.
And then on a last-second field goal. And then the Chargers, they were winning that game, and what happens? Not one, not two, three broken ankles.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that.
And once again, another fourth quarter drive for a comeback to get in the head. And Phillip Rivers comes back. They win that football game. And look at the way that their season turned around from that point forward.
Yeah, but that's the exact opposite.
The exact opposite.
Bingo. And it started off 0-4, and they had lost some close games, and then they rolled.
And I'm not saying that it's funny, but literally that week doing stuff – talking to Bob Papa and doing stuff before the game and doing my show on WFAN, I literally was saying this could be a turning point game for either one of these football teams. You looked at a struggling Chargers team. You looked at a Giants team coming off of back-to-back rough losses at Philly and at Tampa. That could have changed the complexion of their season.
I mean, you look at that really, and even if you don't want to give them 3-2, 2-3. That's a hell of a lot different than 0-5.
And then you would have played Denver. Then we all know the Seattle game. But then you would have had the bye where you could have regrouped.
And also, at that juncture, if you're 2-3, you're 3-2, you're feeling a lot different about yourselves.
Yes.
I mean, your whole mindset.
Especially because you're feeling different because of the injuries that you have. But you find a way to fight through them. And
it's just been... You know, so now you're at a situation where everybody's sitting, you know, awaiting who's going to be the GM, who's going to be the head coach. You can't think about the head coach until you think about the GM. And then you have a guy like listen, folks, you want to argue with me, be my guest. I would love to see Steve Spagnuolo get the – you know, I'm not saying it has to be, but if he got the opportunity to stick around and be the full-time head coach, I would be all for that. I would have no problems whatsoever.
You know, I absolutely love Spags. Have had tons of great years here with him. I respect him more even as a man than just as a coach, and he's an unbelievable coach and motivator for players. Spends a lot of time one-on-one with all the guys that have ever played in his defenses, and he really cares about the guys. You know, the one thing that is a strike against him is – when he was declared the interim head coach, right away John Mara said this is an uphill battle for him because of where we're at as a team. And the other thing that continues to come to my head when we're talking about all this with the new GM and a new head coach coming in, the continued use of the words wholesale changes.
Right.
So that's why I don't see that happen.
No, I don't know, you know, sometimes we all get stuck on words.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens, especially in the day with the media and social media. We get stuck on words, the wholesale changes. Because to me, first of all, any GM who comes in, it's his decision.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now, if the GM came in and said, well, you know what? I like this guy, or I don't like this guy, or I like Steve, or what? That, you know, that puts becomes a horse of a different
– no question. But then, you know, you can look back and go back to 3 years ago when Coach Coughlin, who is a Hall of Fame coach, was fired. Then you – or whatever you want to say, however, resigned, fired, whatever it is.
Replaced.
And then you hired your coordinator within. It didn't alleviate or solve any of the problems. So it would be repeating the same thing, definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and expecting different results.
Yeah, it just –
it's tough. This is what happens when you're right now sitting at 2-13.
Right.
The difficult decisions that have to face this organization, not only with the GM, the head coach, with all the coaches, the players, there's so much involved and what's going to take place here. And, you know, we always talked about we're talking about people, too,
well,
with families, with kids. And that's the tough thing that, you know, when you don't win football games, and we heard Eli say it, you know, oh, do you think the head coach should be fired? No, because that's a direct reflection of us as players as well, and that's the truth.
No, and again, people, everybody forgets that. Fans, media, everybody forgets that. When everybody says fire a guy, especially in the football business, you're talking about.
And I get the passion, and
yeah,
you love
well,
the passion.
I'm not knocking the passion.
No, I know. I'm saying, and you get the passion, and you love the fans, and you love them getting involved, and you love that they are so invested in being a New York Giant, that's what they expect. They expect championships. And sometimes, like I said, when it comes to that, it's easy to do those things when there's not that human relationship.
No, it's very hard for me to watch when I know these coaches. I'm being honest with you, folks. And you see guys, and, you know, like we're talking about 19, 20 assistants.
Yeah.
They just went into Christmas, and their families went into Christmas, and they're going into the new year and end this game not knowing what their future brings.
And think about me sitting here watching the tough year that Eli had to face. That's one of my best friends who, over 160 games, I went to war with.
Right. It's very, very difficult. It becomes a difficult situation. Listen, that's life in pro sports.
Yep.
And I've said it many, many times about this place. When I say this place, New York, the metropolitan area. It is, New York is a great, there is no better place to win. But, man, you have a bad losing season. It is dreadful to lose.
It is.
It'll cut your gizzards out, boy.
I felt it. I know. Yeah.
It's very, very, very difficult. Again, 201-939-4513 is the number. Lines are open. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. And let's go to one of our good longtime friends here from Maryland. Len, you're on with Russ and David Deal. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, good. Nice to be able to talk to you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Lenny.
Hope everybody had a good weekend, except for having to watch the Giants game.
Yes.
Yep.
But, you know, nice weekend with family and everything. It's just, it's great. It's
good.
Great. Well, I called in to say I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I mean, really.
I mean, I think the numbers speak for themselves. Eisen had a column on the website, his usual wrap-up of the weekend, and very always enlightening with the numbers that Michael Eisen comes up with there. You know, besides the 2-13, I mean, you're looking at 0-11 in the conference.
Yep.
First time in Giants history to lose that many games in the conference. 0-5 right now in the division. I think I said this last week. I can't remember when the Giants went for an offer in the division.
Nor can I.
I mean, Michael is going to have to research that one for a long time, I think, to find a team. You know, that went 0-6, and that, geez, 0-6, 0-12, if we lose it, 0-12 in the conference. Geez, those are terrible numbers to come back from. I mean, it just, you know, it shows you the differences in the teams. You say to yourself, can we even compete in the division, you know? Hey, listen, a couple of positives, though, on the game Sunday. Nice to see Ellison more active and actually get down the field a little bit. A couple of patterns, you know, down the field. Now, maybe that was because Ingram was out. I don't know. But, you know, I've been thinking to myself over, 10 weeks now, what is it that we're actually getting from Ellison, you know? But He got down the field a little bit. He makes positive yardage when he catches the ball.
To
see him get down the field and make a couple of catches, I thought that was good. I'd like to see Jarrell Adams on the field. I mean, Adams came up with a couple of good catches, too. So, you know, it makes you wonder, maybe there's, hate to put it this way, but there's one too many receivers. You got those tight ends. I think we've got some really solid tight ends. You know, on the negative side with regard to the game, and I think you guys have, you know, talked about it already, the one thing is the apple. I mean, we don't have to talk about it, but it's worth mentioning it again. I mean, I don't get that, but it's the way it is. Maybe, you know, maybe with a new coaching staff coming in, maybe things will change a little bit with him. But that's just a mess. Gee.
Well, you're right. It is a mess, and it's got to be corrected. But listen, I don't think, and you know, David, you're a player, so you know what goes on. I think it's a situation because to me, they all seem to be. I don't think that's not just a Spags decision. I agree.
And I don't know, David, you can speak to this, although you may not know exactly what's happening in that room. But
I
suspect his teammates are almost demanding a lesser role for Apple.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's his teammates that are demanding a lesser role. I think that, you know, when you realize that you aren't giving anything, you have to earn it. I think with the way that he's, you know, done the things on and off of the field, the way that he's handled everything,
yeah,
and where the season is, they gave Cockrell and Dixon an opportunity because the way that they worked, that them being on time, for them being accountable. Granted, are they better than Eli Apple? No. But did they earn the right to play in that football game based upon the way that they've carried themselves in practice and preparation and not being late and not being a distraction? Absolutely.
You know what, Len? Yeah. I was sitting a couple of games ago watching, I forget which game it was.
And in regards, while you're thinking about that, in regards to the offense, obviously, you know, they had to use Ellison a lot more once Ingram went out of the lineup.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that also, you know, was crucial with Ingram getting hurt in this football game, you know, if you look back at I shouldn't even just say Ingram, but without Tavarius King in this football game, the one thing that was led to success offensively was being able to go up-tempo against Philadelphia, being able to control the tempo, control what coverage and what personnel they had on the field, but without having Tavarius King and then losing Evan Ingram, if you go out there and you're running a hurry-up offense, you're having constant three and outs, which was already happening anyways, but you're taking no time off of the clock. You're setting yourself up for a disaster on the road where your defense is out on the field for 40 minutes, and it looks even worse than what happened on Sunday.
And you know what, Len? You know, Dave just mentioned, like, Dixon and Cockrell. And I don't know if it was the Philadelphia game. I'm trying to remember. It was either Philadelphia or the Dallas game here. And I was sitting with Antrell Roll watching the game. And Antrell made a point of saying, like, I could see it him as he was watching the game, how enthused he was about watching Dixon.
Yeah.
He says, that young man brings it all the time. He's showing everybody that he wants to play and make the team. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, it's not just in sports, it's in life. Maybe you forget where you came from or what it took to get where you are.
Yeah.
And the really great ones, like you've heard me say with Dave, and he played that way. You compete all the time. You make sure the real great ones want to compete all the time.
Especially in professional sports. Opportunities are never lost. Someone will take the one that you miss. There's always somebody on your coattails working as hard as you, if not harder than you, preparing harder than you are, just for that one opportunity where they can step in and show that they deserve to be there. And believe me, like we talked about Dixon, there were issues in coverage. There were breakdowns.
Yes.
But
yes.
He earned the right to play in that football game. Yeah. But that's also a product of going into the game when you're sitting there at 2-12.
Yep.
You know, though, I wish my coaching decision, I mean coaching decision during the game. I wish they'd have given him a little help with Fitzgerald. I mean, he's just a great player, Hall of Famer, first round, no question about it.
That's why I think we needed
a little more double team on him earlier in the game.
What I wanted, I thought that they could have done something once you realize, which they've done throughout this entire time, to take pressure off of Stanton, that he was the number one go-to target in order to get the pressure off of him, that they could have adjusted and put DRC on him. DRC's played in the slot. Yeah. He does it in nickel third down situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you can do that and take that away and put him on there, then you can help out the other guys and bracket coverage to other people.
Yeah. You know, it was pretty clear right from the start that it was going to be a Larry Fitzgerald
show. It was a Larry Fitzgerald show. Yes, it was.
I think the Cardinals just wanted to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, he's a great player. What can you say? Hey, David, I did a little research on next year's opponents. I think our schedule is set pretty much. Not dates, but we know who we're going to play.
Yeah.
And here's the good news for me, David. We're going to play 10 games against – If teams keep the same scheme on defense, we're going to play 10 games against 4-3 defenses and only 6 against 3-4 defenses. And by my way of thinking, I think that's good, David. We struggle with that 3-4.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
God.
The speed caught up to us on the offensive side of the ball
compared
to where you can get guys to run that can hit, that can do different things, only rush 3, drop into coverage. That was a big issue. To go along with that, though, that's possibly why it could be a good thing, is all going to be based upon what type of system the offensive coordinator wants to run with the new head coach.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. And Eli, I don't know how he survived that game. I mean, next week, the Redskins are – They don't play the run very well. They're a 3-4 defense. They don't play the run very well. I'd run right from the beginning against them, see what we can do. But they're having a little fun with the end of the season, guys.
Yeah.
I see a lot of them because I'm down here and I watch all their games.
Right.
In fact, I may have seen an offensive line that was worse than the Giants' offensive line on Sunday. I watched Denver against the Redskins in the first game. And, oh my God, that Denver offensive line. We think our offensive line is bad.
I know.
Oh, God. That's scary bad in Denver. I mean, just scary bad. But what I'm saying, the Redskins seem to be having fun with the end of the season by rushing the passer. It's almost like they don't care if you run on or not.
They're just going
after the quarterback.
Yeah, they're just trying to destroy everything.
Pull everything up on every play.
Right now,
I agree. All right, guys, one more game, another opportunity. We got to get a division win. I don't know why I'm obsessed with this, but I want a division win.
You're not alone, Lenny. So listen,
Thanks, Len.
New Year, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Take care,
Have a good week.
You too. 201-939-4513. That's a long time.
Oh yeah.
Good Giants fan. Let's go down to Florida now. Warm things up with Mike. Mike, you're on with Russ and Dave. How you doing?
Very good, guys. As you probably have heard me call in before, I don't get the Giants games down here. What I get, especially this year, is one heck of a lot of ribbing from my family and friends in the Northeast. I have relatives out west and so forth, and we get a lot of folks down here that are Patriot fans because they come down to watch the Red Sox. So I just have a bunch of questions based upon how guys, zing me. Now, I'm a heck of a lot older than you, Russ, so my father took me to watch games when Steve Owen was coaching.
Yeah, you're going back a little bit, yeah.
I don't really remember him. I remember my mother yelling at him, but I remember Jim Lee Howell on there because I used to live in the Northeast. So I get a bunch of questions.
Go ahead.
And you fire away and take them as – let me just toss them out. But one, just take a wild, a guess as to the percent of the players that are on our roster now versus the third game roster. That's one. The defensive line, particularly the ends, I've been getting, zingers that say our guys are too slow, particularly JPP, that he looks slower this year than last year. And the same thing goes for the linebackers. And that the view on some of the folks is that they are slower than the average NFL linebacker. Okay? Another question. Should Engram take on the role for Brandon Marshall next year? He's younger, bigger.
Mike, let me slow you down a second because we want to answer your questions, but we got to remember them. So let's go back to a few.
The first
one was the
percentage of people that were on the week three.
Take your best guess.
I'd say 11%, 7, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I mean.
I have no idea.
It's small, let's put it that way. I mean, you're talking about a different team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody would dispute that. I mean, we've been talking about that, quite frankly, ever since the Charger game which was the fifth game?
Yeah.
When three guys broke their ankles, and, that was what was going to be more to come. But there was another one you were saying. Go ahead.
I had a couple of questions. One is, guys, and this, the root of this is the people are saying that JPP is over.
Oh, no, that was the one. Okay.
The second one's with the defensive ends.
Yeah.
So they're saying that he looks slower this year than past years, that he's just not getting the jump.
Well, you know what? Obviously, one of the things that when you look at what is the one thing that helps you, what is the best pass rush? Coverage. And what's the best coverage? Pass rush. Those two things go hand in hand, and there hasn't been that cohesion. And, yeah, I think after this season that it will either be Ovi or JPP on this team. I don't believe that both will be New York Giants next
year. Is that right?
I don't believe that they will. You know, and that's been a product and a problem this football season, you know, unable to get not only pressure on the outside, but pressure down the middle of the pocket to quarterbacks to get in their lap. And in regards to the linebacker, you know, I think that Goodson is a solid player, but he's a first and second down guy. He's not a third down guy. And I think that's an area that the Giants have not addressed and have to address this season, either through offseason, through the free agency, or through the draft. They've got to get linebackers that can cover tight ends and they have some speed to cover running backs out of the backfield as well.
Well, let me ask – Mike, stay with us. Let me ask you a question, Dave, based on what you just said, because that's quite the statement. Is the problem with OV and JPP their performance, or is it a problem, like you say, when we always say the hip bone's connected to the back and the front and back, and also lack of, as you just brought up, linebacker play?
I think it's a product of both of those things, but where this Giants football team is currently and where moving forward, they're going to have to free up some money. And when they didn't get the production out of both of them, this season, regardless of what the circumstances were, at some point it's going to be one or the other. That's just my gut feeling.
I mean, OV, in fairness, I mean, he was playing hurt most of the season.
Yeah.
And certainly JPP. And in answer to your question, Mike, about JPP being speed or being slower, now lately he's been hurt. And believe me, it was glaring even watching him this past week. Playing with that club on a hand, he had a sack where he couldn't have a sack.
Yeah, he couldn't, exactly.
You know, but Dave, you and I talked about, he came into camp in tremendous shape.
He looked the best he's looked.
He looked like an Adonis.
He looked like he had the cast off,
everything.
The extra hand surgery, everything.
You know, we were saying here, my goodness, who'd have thunk it? I mean, he looks better than ever, and he fully recovered. But, yeah, for whatever reason, I mean, he was talking. I mean, I remember sitting with him, not just me alone, but he was telling everybody.
He's going to be back to his 11 numbers.
And his goal was to be Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, that's how – he wasn't bragging. He was being confident, Mike. So that's been a disappointment, no question about that.
Well, I'll tell you, you guys surprised the heck out of me. Actually, David, you just surprised the heck out of me when you talked about the possible turnover on the roster. I thought you were going to say it might be due to his hand,
Mike,
not fully healed or whatever.
Mike, we're 2-13. I mean, that's the reality of what takes place. And I said, when I was a part of the 2003 football team on the New York Giants, which was my rookie season, compared to 05, my third year, Coach Coughlin's second year, there were only 15 of us left on the roster from 03. That's the type of turnover that takes place when you hire a new general manager, a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator, and a staff, because they're going to find players that fit their system. And in order to do so, you're going to have to cut some bait.
You know, Mike, you have to remember one thing. It's a business.
This is not
Dave saying I don't like one guy or I don't like the other guy. It's not that. And a lot of times that's the hard part. You need to have enough insides as a general manager, the guts,
and your brain more than your heart,
and to make the unpopular decision. That becomes a very, very difficult thing, Mike, to do.
Russ, I remember my father being so upset when Charlie Connolly was replaced as the quarterback when they brought in Y.A. Tittle. I mean, my father stomped around the house and he wasn't a real stomping kind of guy.
Right.
He was just upset. And yes, it was a business. And
that was 1961.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The other questions I had were, like Brandon Marshall, he's a little bit older. Yeah, he probably can still play.
Oh, in regards to Evan Ingram,
Ingram, should he take on? Should he actually be the big whiteout guy that we need? That, you know, you go back to Eli's years, like 8 years ago, we had a great big guy on the outside who could jump up and get the ball. Maybe that's what Ingram can. Maybe he's not fast enough. I don't know.
No, believe me, Ingram is well fast enough to, in order to do that. And that's one of the great things that you look at Evan Ingram, which it will only get better from the experience that he's gained this football season. And now the way that you can tailor a game to him, the way that you can use his versatility next year moving forward, whether it's having him in line, having him in the slot, motioning him out to where he's an X wide receiver, where he's the one. There are so many things that you can do with him if you have the pieces around him and you have the protection to do so. So I think he's definitely a guy that can run those same type of routes, big body people up, work the seams, do that type of thing, and really help the offense. I agree with you.
Well, I got two other questions. One I mentioned to you, the offensive line. What would be your first and only move that you would make to improve our line? And, again, the question goes back to some guys thinking that our line is too slow on pulling and so forth. But that was kind of a scramble question from somebody in the Philadelphia area. That our line, you know, what would be the one move that you would make? If you only had one move to make, what would you do, David or Russ?
It's hard to say one move to make when there's five pieces to the puzzle. And once again, you know, to sit here and make that statement, it would have to be based upon what type of system they're running moving forward. But, you know, if we're looking here moving forward and we're looking at people that we know for sure will be on the roster next year in the offensive line, it would be to move Ereck Flowers to the right side.
I think the one thing that Dave and I have agreed on from the moment he's stepped on the field in terms of your offensive line, we both like Brett Jones very much.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He'll be a Giant next year.
Dave, you played on the right side. You're now going to bring a guy over from the left side. Now, we had Newhouse that jumped back and forth. And I saw Newhouse play last night. He wasn't so great, but he wasn't so bad. It's a complete new learning experience to go from the left side to the right side.
No, I disagree with you, Mike. It's actually not a completely new learning experience. The game actually slows down from that side because usually if you have a right-handed quarterback, that's the side that he sees more of the things where he can adjust the protection, he sees the pressure coming, and that's why the more elite athletes are the one at the left tackle position than the right. So actually it's not as difficult as you think. The only thing is muscle memory and flipping, you know, your footwork and your hand in the ground. That would be technically the only thing.
Well, Dave, the last question I had to do with, again, if you notice, that everything is on speed. Our running backs, do we have a really fast running back in our portfolio that would do a great job? I don't see him enough games, but I've been told that our backs aren't that fast. They're good, but they aren't that fast.
There will be a complete turnaround in the running back room, and that will be one of the biggest competition groups going into 2018 for the New York Giants. I have no doubts about saying that because we saw how rough it was and how difficult it was being one-dimensional, not being able to have a downhill running football game and not having a player that has that home run hitting speed that could take it to the house. So I definitely see that being addressed.
Mike, I think.
Wow.
I think.
Mike's got a whole checklist.
No. Listen, Mike's calling from Florida. Just so you know, Mike brought up, he remembers Steve Owen as the head coach.
Well, I don't remember him. Unfortunately, I was too young.
Okay.
And my mother screamed that it was too long a train ride.
Right.
Well,
the last time Steve Owen was there was 53. So whatever you remember,
we went in the late 40s.
Yeah, well, even if you remember Jim Lehow, God bless you, Mike. But listen, you and your family have a great holiday.
Thanks for the call.
And thanks for the call,
holidays,
buddy. All right?
Hey, thank you very much, guys. Dave, wow, what? I didn't write it down, but what an analysis. You've given me a lot to talk back to my friends on. So
all right, have a good time,
Mike. I love it, Mike. Thanks for calling.
But
see, that's exactly what I mean, the passion. Mike, Mike's sitting there, and he's ready to go. He's got his full checklist and everything. And, you know, that's the type of things that people do when they're invested into their football team and have the type of fan base like this because – You know, as much as you hate this, I hate that word. It's like, you know, potential, expectations. I those words drive me crazy because it's what you could be, and I get that. But at the same time, when that stuff happens and you have those emotions after coming into this football season, it's tough for everybody.
After a while, if potential is not realized, potential turns into disappointment.
Yep.
And you
potential
know,
has to meet productivity.
The situation with the running backs, it's you've seen at different points, in particular Gallman, in particular Darqua. You know,
I was very happy with the way that Wayne Gallman improved throughout the season.
He, not only
in running the football, but catching out of the backfield, pass protection. The one big thing that was a big knock for him coming out of college were some of the big hits and some of the fumbles that he has had this season because he tends to run with his pads high.
Yeah, I think but while we've seen moments, you did bring out a point. We didn't see the home run, the knockout punch, the punch in the mouth.
The change of pace back,
The complete.
And if you don't have that back and it's that, you better be able to run power. You better be able to run right downhill, and you better be able to convert on third down, short yardage, goal line, those types of things to be able to physically win it instead of winning it with speed.
You know, and when you have one of those super backs – boy, that changes everything. And I don't know, will you think the Giants will draft the running back?
I think at some point they will, yep.
I think so as well. Listen, folks, when you see that knockout punch, that great – listen, you're from the Windy City.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of great running backs in my time. I think the guy that excited me more than anybody –
Walter Payton?
No.
Gale Sayers?
Gale Sayers.
See, I grew up Walter Payton.
Yeah, you know,
Sweetness.
You grew up.
Sweetness is still to this day my favorite player,
but
I mean,
Walter
the Kansas Comet. I mean,
Walter Payton. Walter Payton would run, cut, and go that way, and without missing a step.
Gale Sayers would glide.
Oh my God, Kansas Comet. Just tremendous, and you know
they're still like it's still in Chicago. Growing up, it was like a game that was like still a complete myth, running in Wrigley Field in snow and ice, and still running by completely everybody.
Oh, when they had him on offense and Butkus on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, it was really really something something to see. And when you have that kind of back. I mean, obviously, it makes a tremendous difference.
Look at the New Orleans Saints and Alvin Kamara.
Boy.
It changes everything.
Everything.
It changes everything.
It really is a situation.
And to go with that, and once again, I've heard in regards to the running backs, Saquon Barkley, I think that he's an unbelievable football player. But if you put him behind a average to bad offensive line, he will be an average to bad running back. Those two things go hand in hand. So you have to address the old line before the running back.
Well, from what you've seen about Barkley,
do
you view him as a can't miss?
You can't say that about anybody, especially at the running back position, that he is a can't miss product. Because, you know, we've seen where first rounders and second rounders don't turn out and where fourth, fifth, sixth guys have turned out. I mean, look at Terrell Davis. Look at Chicago Bears' Jordan Howard has had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He was a late-round draft pick from the University of Indiana. But he finds a way to make big plays and big runs with a offensive line that was completely disparaged and injured, just like the Giants.
You know, folks, you've heard me mention this. If you've listened often enough, you've heard me mention it, you know, more than once before. Blair Thomas coming out of Penn State was – the Jets picked him number one. I mean, he was.
Kajana Carter. I mean, we can keep going.
He was a can't miss. And I remember a few of us talking to George Young about Blair Thomas. And George Young looked at us as George Young used to do and sit with his hands on his chest and say, all of us, everybody on their board had him number one, Blair Thomas. Everybody had Blair Thomas. So it wasn't like, who? The Jets at that time was stupid. It just
doesn't
happen.
Yeah. Does not
sometimes
work.
It just doesn't happen. I found it very interesting that comment you made earlier. And it is worth thinking about. You know, listen, you talk about 2-13. Drastic times calls for drastic measures.
Yeah.
Nobody says we don't like JPP. Nobody says we don't like OV. But it is a business. You have to get production. I will never forget. Again, we're talking about George Young. And it was Wellington Mara's saddest day owning the Giants. Saddest day when they had to say goodbye. I remember in the old Giants stadium down in the press room when he had to say goodbye to Phil Sims.
Yep.
I mean, and that was a decision that Mr. Mara didn't want to do. A lot of people didn't want to do. George Young, and I didn't want him to happen, but George Young had the guts to make that decision, the most, certainly one of the most unpopular decisions any executive have made with the Giants. But think about this, folks. Phil never went anyplace else. That was it for Phil. You know, that he did not play another football game. Some of those, and God, is he one of my all-time favorite, not players, people, period. We've maintained a friendship ever since his playing days. That's what good front office people do. They have the guts to make the decision and make the unpopular decision. And in this town, that becomes extremely, extremely difficult.
Absolutely. Because if you do make that decision, you better be 100% confident in what you're going to be doing moving forward and that it pans out. Because if not, then you will be out of a job.
No, the world has, you know, at one point in this town, you were just dealing with, everybody would talk about the extent of the so many TV stations, and so many newspapers in New York. It's not just that anymore. It's social media.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's blogs. There's all different types of things.
You can't blow your nose the wrong way without getting in trouble.
Blogs, podcasts, all different types of things.
It just really, really, you know, it's one of those situations where, hey, listen to what we're talking about, David. It's 2-13.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what? For people, and listen, we're not crying, but Dave mentioned it before. 2-13 is hard on everybody.
On everyone.
On everybody. No one's happy about it. You're not pumped up. It's like.
And the same thing, you know, walking into this building. I've been walking into this place for 16 years now. The employees feel it.
Like everybody.
Everybody feels it because you realize and see how many people are invested in a part of what takes place each and every weekend. And when you don't get the results, and it's difficult for everybody in this building.
There becomes you lack the getty up. Let's put it that way in your gate. Anyway, that's a wrap on today, folks. We thank you for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. Remember, the number is always to call us 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg. He's David Deal. I'll see you tomorrow.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.